This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that we have Brother Jim Averett on today, and he is always one of my favorite guests because I guess pretty much you tell it like it is, don't you, Jim? You never hedge a little bit.
I try to.
And we want to let you know that there is a 250-acre farm, and it's an estate selling in 12 parcels, and it goes on the auction block at 10 a.m. Saturday, June the 16th. And it's the estate of Bessie Lovern Gentry and John Gentry, and it includes a 3,000-square-foot, 8-room house with 2 stone fireplaces, oak floors, a large kitchen, and family room. In all, there are 7 5-acre tracts, 2 23-acre tracts, a 26-acre tract, 58-acre tract, and an 86-acre tract. And the working farm has been used as a dairy and cattle operation. The majority of the property at the corner of Laverne Road and Rock Springs Road consists of crop and pasture land. Also on site are barns, a silo, 3 ponds, and fencing. Owner financing is available and $10,000 earnest money day of sale. It's subject to regrouping. Contact Larry Sims or Bill Cunningham at Sims Realtors Auctioneers for more information. Give them a call, 893-5252. That's 615-893-5252. That sounds like a great place for somebody that's wanting a farm to go out there. It sounds like they've got everything.
Yeah, if I could get it cheap enough, but that farm going to cost a few dollars, I imagine.
Well, it should. I mean, it is a perfect place out there.
It is. Of course, if I got a place like that, I wouldn't want to buy it to develop it. I want to buy it and hide somewhere.
Yeah, you really grew up right here in downtown almost.
Well, I grew up in the best part of town. I was over in Westview. But I was considered, you know, pretty well in the country. The city limits came just above my house when I was in grammar school. I guess they changed and went on out to the curve there by the power station before I got in eighth grade. But during most of my time from my childhood, from being born up to about the fourth, fifth grade, the city limits was right there across the street from me.
Do you think growing up in the Westview area had a major impact the way you are now?
Yeah.
Because you're one of the more honest people that I meet. You tell it like it is. You don't mince any words or anything like that. And you kind of take me back to the time that we were all growing up right here.
Well, yeah, I think it did. Of course, you know, it's no secret that we were considered the wrong side of the track, you know. Over there, and
I never considered you the wrong side.
I know you didn't. I know you didn't, but a lot of folks did. Because one fellow asked me one day, said, "You from you?" Oh, I said, "I'm from over in Westview." Oh, you're from the wrong side of the track. I said, "Depends on which side you're looking from."
you literally had a track over there, a train track.
Oh yeah, it
ran almost right through Westview.
Well, it ran. It was the border.
Uh huh.
That was a border between good places and bad places. Bad side of town and good side of town. No, it was run. We used to play. They talked about the viaduct. That's the Bratcher Bridge now, by the way.
Oh, okay.
The Bratcher Bridge. That disappointed me because I always thought they'd name that bridge after me, but they went ahead and named it after Chris Bratcher.
Well, maybe they can find something else over there to name for you.
Now, I got an idea what it'd be, and I don't want to do that. but anyway, we used to play up there. That was one of our favorite playing places up on that hill. We'd go up. Especially on Friday and Saturday, we'd be going to the picture show, the theater they call it now, mm-hmm. you know. But we'd be going to the picture show, and
That's the one on the square, right?
Yeah, well, that's on, yeah, the Rocks and the Princess is all you had.
Yeah.
And later on, you had the Starlight Drive-In, but I couldn't go out there. I couldn't drive.
You had to have a car.
Yeah, but anyway, we'd go to the Roxy on Friday, and Saturday we'd go to the Princess. And
you didn't have Broad Street to cross over.
No. You went down the viaduct, down the Bridge Avenue, and went up West Main Street to the square. You didn't have Broad Street. You had all those long row houses on the right, and you had the Wilson Company, the Egg House, we called it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Sally Ann Bakery.
Right, remember
then,
Sally Ann.
Yeah, and then you come to the Creamery, now the Wilsons, and then Ernest T. Bowles, the Bowles thing, they sold separators, milk, and then you had all those long row of houses, and just sort of looked like a motel, but they were all, I guess.
Are you talking about the bottom?
No, it wasn't in the bottom. No, it was just on West Main Street.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And you passed there and went on up by Bell Brothers and up to the square.
Wow.
Yeah. And so
you guys could go just about any time you wanted to, because you were that close to the Princess.
Well, back then, Truman, you didn't worry. The kids, we went out, when we got up and eat breakfast, by the time I was about 5-6 years old, after we ate breakfast, Mama put me out of the house, and all the rest of them, the Underwoods lived down the street from me, Morris and Robert, and Freddie Pope lived down there. So all of us, about the same time, we'd get put out of the house to play. And so we got out and played. And if we wanted to go up around the block, if we were maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, we went. Today, I wouldn't let my 10-year-old out of my sight. Because these idiots, these perverts, running around, pedophiles. But back then, we didn't really worry about it. And we walked to town. But I started to tell you, that was one of our favorite playgrounds, go up on that hill up there at the viaduct and get a big piece of cardboard and slide down that hill.
Huh.
Down toward the Southeastern Oil Company then, uh-huh. Shell Oil Company. And then, of course, the rough trip was coming back up to slide down again. You had to walk back up. But that was the thing about it. And then, of course, we got all cleaned up to go to town. But then when we stopped there and slid down there 2 or 3 times, we was covered with coal dust, because that was before the diesel engines, the old steam, the train, the coal train. So, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
That was an active place when you're talking about the railroad.
Yeah.
Because the railroad was one of the major points of not only for travel, but also transporting the goods that people needed.
The railroad, the depot there was a very busy place, freight and passenger. Yeah. When I was in the National Guard, that's where we boarded our train to go to Camp Stewart over in Georgia.
And that's one thing that's not near as active as it used to be. And I never thought I'd see the day when the trains would be limited to the number of runs that they've got.
Yeah, now. Well, I don't know. I miss, of course, I didn't do a lot of train riding, but you miss them, And, of course, the Dixie Flyer, all of you come through here. But
you guys had, at your age, as rambunctious as kids are at that age.
Yeah,
you had to spend a lot of time over there around where the railroad depot and the tracks were.
We spent a lot of time there and out toward the river. Because back then, Truman, you didn't have television and stuff that kept. And parents didn't keep the kids in the house and let them sit in front of a television. They talk about childhood obesity, and they're blaming McDonald's and Burger King and all these places. when they've come around here and they've cut out phys ed in the schools, they don't have phys ed anymore, where the kids get out and run and play. And then back in our day, when we got home after school, if we had any homework, we'd get it. But then we'd get out and play till supper time. We'd be up in the McFadden schoolyard either playing softball, baseball, or in the fall we had football, and we played out. Kids don't do that anymore. They don't know how to play. Now parents and all these psychologists and educators think that you're supposed to entertain your kids uh-huh. all day. Well, my kids, we didn't entertain our kids all day. We didn't take them every day, go out and go to the swimming pools and go out to activities. We did sometime, but they got outside and played themselves. Because that's the way we did. While we was out playing, well, it wouldn't be politically correct, but we played cowboys and Indians, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we'd start playing at 7 or 8, about 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'd play all over the neighborhood, and wherever you was at when they stopped to eat, that's where we ate.
Did you play kick the can?
Oh yeah, and that's another thing. We had when we at night and the evenings up on Pyre Avenue. I had some cousins lived up there, and I'd leave my house and go up around the corner, and we'd have games out there in the street, and we'd play kick the can, hide and go seek, and things like that. And the thing about it, there were two or three parents out there with us.
Ah,
and we'd play, and we'd play till dark. And then
you played after dark. I know we did.
And after dark,
yeah.
And then we'd go home. Yeah.
You know, did y'all ever play? Sometimes we were all mischievous back then, and a lot of times you'd play hide and go seek or kick the can. The poor guy that was the seeker,
yeah.
The one that hadn't found everybody. A lot of times we would just leave him out to dry and go home and leave him out there.
Yeah, we
poor thing
that.
Be hunting for an hour.
Yeah. But then there's sometimes when the seeker, you know, would pull, he'd turn the table, we'd peek.
We'd, now you didn't do
we'd
that.
Know where, we'd know where they were. We'd know where they were.
Now you've left out all the chores. Now we all had chores back then.
Well,
they turned us loose, but we had things that we had to do.
I had things I did, but I'll have to confess that I was a baby. I was the baby of the crowd. My brother Ike, who's still alive, he'll be 90 in July.
Oh my goodness!
He's a former prisoner of war.
Yes.
And but. They see he was 14 years older than me, and Tom's 16, so I didn't have.
You were spoiled.
I was spoiled.
Yeah.
And my mother around the house didn't make me do hardly anything. I don't know how I come, because since we married, my wife and I, I've always shared things around the house to mm-hmm. do and all that, and picked up on it, But one thing I did have to do, I carried wood and coal in for the fire, because we didn't have all we had in the house. We had fireplaces. Jerry Clower used to talk about on one of his records a double sided fireplace. We had one of them. Yeah, we had one of them. One, you know, in the main room, what you'd call the living room back mm-hmm. then, we called that the house.
Yeah.
If you're going to go in the house, that meant you're going in the living room. Well, in that fireplace, and on the other side of the fireplace was the dining room.
Yeah.
And so we had two double-sided fireplaces.
And that's where you had to stay, and especially in the wintertime.
Oh,
because
yeah.
if you weren't there, yeah. you were in bed, because that's the only place you could stay warm.
Oh, in the wintertime, me and my mother slept in the main room of the house, as we mm-hmm. called it, in the living room.
Yeah.
We had our bed, my bed. I had a little. I still got that little iron bed, and I slept in that bed, and Mama slept over next to the wall, and Daddy slept back in the. He had his bear's den back in the back of the house in his room, but I slept there, and in the wintertime, it was when it was so cold. You'd get your pillow, come up, warm it by the fire, and then before it cooled off, run and jump in the bed.
A feather bed.
No, I didn't have a
feather. Oh, you did? No, that was the warmest bed.
I know it, but I never had a feather bed. But I had that little old bed, and I'd run jump in that bed. Well, my mother had rheumatic arthritis, so as long as I can remember. But she'd see through it. I got in the bed, and I was warm. And Daddy, now it's funny, my dad slept in the room. He wouldn't put a light of fire in his fireplace.
Wow.
He slept in the cold, and Daddy always said that he never would get a haircut in March.
Huh.
Because it was you wouldn't have a cold.
Oh, really?
And you know, I look back and sometimes when Daddy still had a lot of hair, he got a little shaggy in March, but he never did have a cold. So it worked, I guess.
I think the air must have been a little bit cleaner back then than it is now.
Well, I've got a cold now. I've been barking.
I think everybody's got
I have been. I've been barking for 2 weeks, and I hadn't treed nothing yet. But
you know, that area you grew up in, you talk about on the wrong side of the track, which I'd never viewed Westview, because Westview was always just an interesting place to me. But you think back at how many successful people came out of Westview.
We were talking about that the other day, that we've had several pretty successful folks that's come out of Westview, and we're proud of them. And I made a remark to one of them, but one of the fellas that I was talking to, I said, we didn't ever a community has a clinker. Yeah. And I said, we had some, but I said, we didn't have no more than anybody else, really, when you think about it.
But you think about
we had
the
some
friends.
Famous, we had some famous ones, but yeah. We
but you think of the friends that you were able to share with back during those times, and you guys stayed together. I mean, you think back of those days with probably more fondness than any other time.
I've lost, you know, quite a few of my friends over the years. Last was Morris Underwood, as far as a childhood friend. He and Robert. Of course, they were right down the street on Battle Avenue, right down the street from me, and we just grew up together. I mean, as children, you know, we used to, in the old day, we used to swap funny books, you know.
Yeah, we called them funny books back then. Yeah. Now they call them comics or whatever.
The thing about it, you better not call them funny books today, because they changed the word name of the word meaning of the word funny, like they've learned the word gay. You know, they've just absolutely murdered the word gay. So you can't say nothing about something being funny. But back then, they were funny books, and every boy had a box under his bed. Mm-hmm. And every month we'd buy the latest
comic book, and then
we'd swap them.
Yeah.
And what I regret is I didn't keep my box, because I had some of the first editions of Superman and back then in the 30s, right there in the last of the 30s, when some of those world
were getting started.
I had some of the first editions. And I remember swapping them back and forth, you know. And if I had them now, they sold a first edition of Superman not long ago for, I think, nearly $1 million.
Oh, wow. Well, you had the comic books or the funny books, and we call the comic strips in the paper, the funny paper.
The funny paper. Yeah. I still do that.
It's hard to break those habits.
You can't take the country out of the boy. You can take the boy out of the country, you know.
Well, we're going to have to put our earphones on because we've got a caller in. So.
Oh, good. Maybe somebody knows us.
Caller, welcome aboard with Jim Avery.
He must have disappeared.
Hey, caller. Welcome aboard.
Yes. Did you hear me?
Yeah, hear you now.
Okay, I listen on the radio with a guy talking on there for Westview.
Yes, Jim Avery.
Okay. My name is John. John Finn, I was born and raised over Westview.
Oh, okay.
And I was listening to y'all talking, back then. I went back to school, and then I heard him talking in there. And that was the good old days back then, you know, they talk about the old fireplaces and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in the tunnel stage.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to know, I'm a Westview, and all my friends are Westview. I went back to that school over there, and everything like that.
How far back do you go? How old are you?
Sir?
How old are you?
I'm 65 years old.
65?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Well, he's a little younger than you are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Where'd you live over in Westview? Where at? What street?
Hey, boy.
What street did you live on?
I live over in Manhattan.
On where?
Manhattan.
I can't.
Oh, Power Avenue.
Oh, Power Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, my daddy opened that street up and gave it to the city.
Who is your daddy?
My daddy was Tom Avery.
Tom Avery?
Yeah.
You were talking about Robert Avery, aren't you? You'd be a painter?
No, he's probably kin, but it's too far away. I know who he is or who he was, but I don't know that we're probably kin, because most of us are.
Well, I was raised over there, you know, around me, my last name is Pitt.
Yeah.
I don't know, Adam Brinkley, Rippy Brinkley, all the best boys over there.
Yeah.
You probably remember them, do you?
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, appreciate you calling in.
I'd like to meet you sometime. Would you live in Westview?
No, I don't live in Westview now. I live on out Franklin Road.
Hello?
It's a suburb of Westview, out Franklin Road.
Well, it's good to talk to you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, that was nice.
Yeah, I couldn't understand his name.
Our phone system was not working well on that one.
Well, I just couldn't understand him.
Yeah.
He talking like me when I got my upper plate out.
Well, now, when you were going to McFadden, it was a fairly new school at that time.
Well, no, not really. The building was newer because McFadden burnt twice.
Right.
But, my brother went to McFadden. Both my brothers went to McFadden. And I started to McFadden in 1942, so the building may have been new, but McFadden School had been there a good long time. Yeah, I went to McFadden, got out to 49.
Would you have ever thought that McFadden would become the school that it is today? I mean, it's a school that everybody wants in.
Well, yeah, Truman, I may be a little prejudiced, but I thought it ought to have been like that when I was going to.
I know one thing.
Of course, I wasn't quite that smart, but some of them was.
When we would play McFadden when I was at Mitchell Nielsen,
yeah,
that was always an interesting place to go play.
McFadden used to carry take all the basketball tournaments in the elementary schools, and we put out some, the late Jerry Hilton. Jerry
yes.
just passed away. Mm-hmm. Jerry and my nephew Daniel Averett were on the McFadden team. Jerry was on when he went on to the high school, and Daniel went on. Daniel didn't play. He went out, I think. But anyway, Jerry Hilton, of course, became a starter. He was a starter on that undefeated Central High School team.
Wow.
He was a great player. Yeah, we put out some good basketball players. Our problem back then, though, is we had so many guys that didn't care about school. All they cared about was basketball, and they didn't want to go to high school, so they'd fail purposely. And back then, you didn't have an age limit, so they'd fail so they could keep on playing basketball at McFadden. And
I was wondering why those guys were so big and tall.
Hey, I have always said, and I know it's true. I can't just come up with evidence now, but I know that there's a boy that played on the an eighth grade basketball team at McFadden. He went to the Navy mm-hmm. and come back and played.
You're not going to tell me.
I ain't going to tell you who it is, but I know it happened. I know it happened.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jim Avery.
The Bungie Nut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
I'm with Mark Goodson, the new owner of the Bungie Nut Pig here in Murfreesboro. Mark, tell us a little bit about the Bungie Nut Pig.
The store's been open for 17 years. If you haven't eaten with us, we hand cut and hand trim all of our ribeye, and we guarantee the best burger in town.
They should expect a smoke-free environment, open to all ages, and great food, great drink.
Now at the Bungie Nut Pig, every Monday and Tuesday night is trivia night. Bungie Nut Pig is on Northfield Boulevard in the Georgetown Square.
At Hotels.com, we only do hotels. That's why we're called Hotels.com. And just so there's no confusion about what we do, here are some other names to help you remember. Over 6 million guest reviews in the HisHouse.com. Did someone say hotel? Funny, we've got over 140,000.com. When I say ho, you say tell. Hotel.com. In the end, there's only one.com you need to remember. Hotels.com. Finding you the perfect place is all we do.
Right now, find great deals in Atlanta, New Orleans, and Florida destinations.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. During the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy 2 gallons of Rain-X Bug Remover Windshield Washer Fluid for $4. Get streak-free bug and grime cleaning power and better visibility with Rain-X Bug Remover Windshield Washer Fluid during the 12 Ways to Save sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Polly Walls, what sets Omni Hut apart from other restaurants?
Consistency, service, atmosphere,
We've been fortunate with a staff that's stayed in place. So you get to know your customers, and we're feeding third, fourth, fifth generation in some families now.
Catch the Aloha spirit at the Omni Hut.
Locally owned and operated since 1960. Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
Let's check those Good Neighbor events. Photographs by my buddy Dan Whittle are on display now through June 30th at the Art Center of Cannon County. Don't forget the 20th anniversary luau at the Stones River Country Club for the Primary Care and Hope Center. That's Saturday, June the 16th. Get in touch with Betty McFarland at 893-3930. Again, the 20th anniversary luau is June the 16th. And right now through June the 20th, you're encouraged to stuff the bus as United Way collects school supplies that will be placed in literacy kits and given to needy pre-kindergarten through the third grade students at local schools. Check with United Way for more information. And it's time to adopt one of the 10,000 yellow rubber ducks that'll float down the Stones River at 4:23 on Saturday, June the 23rd. And the first duck through the flume gets its owner $5,000. The Rubber Duck Derby benefits the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. Don't forget the Rubber Duck Derby on Saturday, June the 23rd. That's right there on the Medical Center Parkway at the Sportsman's Club. Adopt your rubber duck today. And those are Good Neighbor events. Jimmy
Bond. Today's Gold Bond Rescue Mission, the seventh inning sweat. I'm with superfans Scott and Paul.
Hey.
It's 100 degrees out here, and they're trying to enjoy a ball game.
It's getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, and sticky.
That's why I'm giving them the powder with the power. Gold Bond Body Powder.
We're itchy, too.
The encapsulated menthol protects skin, absorbs moisture, even relieves itching. So they stay dry and comfortable.
Talk about a game changer. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank Gold Bond. This stuff works.
Guys, urinating frequently, interrupted sleep, intimacy issues? Yes, it could be your prostate. Right now, you can try Prostorix, the gold standard in prostate supplements, for free. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee. The proprietary formula in Prostorix contains more proven ingredients for prostate health than the leading brand. Order your free bottle of Prostorix today. Just call 888-773-0299, 888-773-0299, or visit ptx1.com, ptx1.com.
Weatherize.
We'll see sunny skies here for this afternoon with a high into the lower 80s and winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 58. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 81.
Keep your family safe when severe weather strikes. Sign up to receive free text alerts at WGNSradio.com. We're WGNS. AM 1450, FM 100.5, and 101.9.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jim Averett. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything from the simple oil change to major auto repair. Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You were telling me something off the air that was really interesting. You used to go over, you guys would go to the jail, and you would do services with the prisoners there.
That's back years ago.
And you were telling me about two gentlemen, and I use the term loosely,
yeah,
that had killed someone in a robbery, and they were over here.
Yeah, they were housing them here in the jail, and prior to taking them on to Nashville, they had been given the death penalty, and they were heading for death row.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a service one afternoon, and these two guys were there, and they brought them down. Back then, they'd go up and get the prisoners. Now you have to give them a choice, and you know, mm-hmm. But back then, they'd just go up and tell them it's time for church, and they'd come down and sit down in the on the bottom floor, and, mm-hmm. and we'd have our service. And but these two guys were there, and we had our service, and one of them made a profession of faith that afternoon, and the other guy, he was, we gave them both Bibles, and this other fella, he was mad, and he was mean, really, and he just tore that Bible up. It was a testament, and wouldn't have nothing to do. And so they went on, and of course we didn't have any more contact really with them, but they went on to the prison, and they were executed. And the guy that made the profession of faith, of course you never know, you know, people talk about are those professions real? Oh yes, they're real, but you know, you always wonder if they follow through.
Right.
Well, that man went on, and I think the prison chaplain baptized him. Mm-hmm. At the prison, and when he went to his death, when he went to the chair, they said he just went as calm. He knew he had to pay his debt to society, and he went and was executed. The other guy, they had to drag him. Mm. He screamed and hollered and yelled and just they had to drag him to the chair.
It's amazing what that type of faith will do for you.
Oh, I'm telling you.
But,
yeah.
But we had the same thoughts. We've had ministers in the jail for many, many years. I remember them in the early 70s, and you said it goes all the way back in the 50s and probably even beyond that. But you can tell it gets their attention while they're in jail.
Oh, yeah.
And what you said is you never know how far that's going to go once they leave the place.
That's
and
right.
But all you can do is just do what you can.
Well, it's just like, you know, when a person makes a profession of faith, there's only two people know whether it's real or not. Mm-hmm. That's you and God.
Right.
The only way other people are going to know is the way they live and produce fruit. And you, by the fruit, you'll know them. But mm-hmm. far as being, knowing for sure, you know, you have to take their word for it. But the Lord knows, and that person knows. And so, you know, but that happened, and we had a lot of good services. We used to go to the county road. Back then, you know, when they had the segregated, mm-hmm. and you stood in the middle, mm-hmm. and you had the black folks on one side and the white folks on the other side, and we'd preach, and of course we had a captive audience. I always
and hoping that you weren't going to be captive.
Well, see, I mean, this may sound a little bit tough, but I kept telling some of the guys I went with. One time I said I always wanted to open a service that said I'm not going to keep you fellas too long. You might want to go somewhere else, because I knew they wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
But I never did. I was afraid to. And because one Sunday we went out there, and I'm not going to tell you who the guy was, but he was in the cell, and I knew him well, and so he's bringing him down off of drugs or alcohol, mm-hmm. or something, and he's back there, and one of my friends was preaching that day, and this boy happened to be kin to this fella, and that guy got upset, started waving his hands and screaming, and he come toward the bars, and if it hadn't been for the bars, we'd have had a problem there. So we had some interesting times out there. I always told somebody that, you know, because we, like I said, we always had some clinkers over in Westview, and I said, just about every time I'd go out there at the county road for a service, somebody'd always holler, "Hi, Jim, how you doing?"
Well, it's nice to know you have people everywhere that know you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one, and you weren't part of it, but I remember one especially hot night at the old jail there on 400 West Main Street. And as you know, they were east side and west side.
Yeah.
And you had six cells on each side upstairs. That's where the adult males were. And you had four to a real small cell. So you were really just kind of jammed in there. Well, we had a group that would come in on a special night once a week. And they would go up there. And what we'd do is we'd open the door, mechanical doors, that would go in to each side. And then we would lock them in. Well, of course, all of the prisoners were behind bars in their cells. So they would go up there, and we would usually let them stay up there for an hour, and they would do the sermons and hand out the small Bibles if they had them.
Yeah.
Well, this particular night, I think it was about almost 90 degrees, and it's probably 110 up there. For some reason, we got busy that night, and we forgot. And going up there somewhere around midnight, those poor things had been in there that whole time, and they were wore out. I mean, of course, their clothes were sweaty and everything
else. Nobody could hear them if they tried to holler on them.
No, but I always wondered. Of course, things were not as you didn't have the communication back then as you do now. But, of course, the guys were completely safe, but you know, they were really glad to see somebody come up there and let them out. So it gave all of them a taste of what goes on in that kind of place.
You talk about keeping them up there all night. Over at McFadden, you know, there's a lot of things going on today about bullying.
Oh, yes.
And they talk about bullies. And somebody said something not long ago to me, and I said, well, when I was growing up and I was in school at McFadden, we took care of our own bullies.
Yeah.
And I had a cousin that was, he's a big boy, and he was our protector. And so we had a guy there, and he was in the, I think he's in eighth grade, and I was probably back about in the seventh. But anyway, this guy was a bully. He was a bully. And he started bullying one or two of us. So I went to my cousin, and I told him, I said, now, we got a problem. I said, this guy, called his name, and I said, he's bullying us, he's bothering us, and I said, actually, we're kind of afraid of him. And he said, I'll take care of it. So one afternoon after school, he grabbed a guy coming out of school and took him over in Gilmore in the pole yard, we called it, Cedar Yard, right next to McFadden, mm-hmm. where that community center is now. Mm-hmm. He took him over in the pole yard and found a tree and tied him to a tree and left him all night long. And you know, he never bullied anybody.
I bet he did.
He never bullied anybody.
You know, you had all those things that happened, that which to me, you've got to write a full book about all the characters and what went on in that area. But who would have thought that two of the best known preachers really were out of that area, because you had Brother Medlock,
yeah,
and yourself, and you both had, you know, large congregations and a great following.
Well, Brother Medlock was my... Well, really, my daddy in the ministry. I was going to church. I was born in the cradle roll, mm-hmm. over there. And the preacher, of course, he was just like a daddy to me. And a lot of my traits, I guess, I got from him, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, he was fearless.
He was.
And he always taught us not to run from people that opposed you, you know, just stand your ground. And so I've always tried to do that. I've tried to do it in a way that's not been a personal thing. You know, back when we had the fight with Claude the Frog.
Yeah, I remember
that. You remember
that.
Claude the Frog?
Yes, I remember him.
Claude the Frog said, I don't want no preachers saying anything about this. He wrote me a letter. Said, I don't want any opposition from the preachers in town. We wanted to get this racetrack. So I called him and I said, Mr. what was his name? Claude Cockrell.
Claude Cockrell.
I said, Mr. Cockrell, I said, it's not personal. I don't know you. But I said, you are going to hear from us, because we're not going to allow that racetrack in Rutherford County.
Oh, I remember the night that all the preachers banded together from all denominations.
Yeah.
What was it, over at Charles Mullins' church?
Yeah.
At the Church of Christ over there.
Yeah, I've done told that story. That's something else.
But it was so funny, because everybody got up and had such interesting ways of dealing with that problem. Of course, Cockrell, he had about every news media you could have in the state of Tennessee that was over there that night.
Well, you know, he told me, he said, I'm coming to church over at your place.
Yeah.
So he did. I said, well, come on. You're welcome to come. And so he did. He come one Sunday morning, and the television stations called me on Saturday, I think, and they'd found out about it and said, now, can we come? I said, yeah, you can come on one condition. You're going to have to stay for the whole service.
And, did he?
Claude, but I said I told the television station, I said, you can't just come and interview him. You got to come and stay for the whole service. They did, and Claude said he put $20 in, but I never did see it.
I think I would have watched him to make sure it went in instead of coming out.
Well, I was kind of skeptical.
All right, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Jim Averett.
Hey, Truman.
Hey.
I'm not a native Murfreesboro. I moved down here from Nashville in about the late 70s.
Oh, you're still a native here.
Have you been naturalized?
Well, I was going to ask Jim if he knew a dear friend of mine who lived over in that area, passed on, Dean Manus.
Oh, yeah, Deanie Manus. Yes,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I grew up around Dean Manus.
Yeah. Well, you was talking about the boy that took care of the bullying and everything. I don't think anybody ever bullied Dean over there in that area, did they?
No. The maintenance is pretty good. Dean was just a fine person, but he took care of himself.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we had some more maintenances that we had to take care of them.
Well, I can imagine that. I've heard some of Dean's stories from growing up over there.
Yeah.
And like you say, he was a mighty fine fella. He was a devout Christian. He carried the word to other people.
Yeah.
Dean used to work for me whenever he was up at the fire department on his days off.
Yeah.
And Dean was strong as a bull. he could pick up things that two people wouldn't ordinarily pick up.
Oh yeah.
But I was just wondering if you knew Dean, and you might have a Manus story to tell or something.
Yeah.
Another thing, when I was living down in Nashville, you had a protest group down there on Church Street, and I don't remember what it was for. I'm remembering right, but I could be wrong.
What years was it?
It would have been probably the middle to late 70s or something like that.
I don't remember.
Now, that was on Church Street here in Murfreesboro?
No.
In Nashville?
Down in Nashville.
Huh.
Now, I don't remember that. Back when we was having a fight out here with Spanky's, the strip joint that wanted to come here.
Well, now...
I was on WLAC.
Okay, that may have been it, where it was on the news.
I was on the Ruth Ann Leach show, and I was on Teddy Bart.
Teddy Bart.
Show.
Okay.
I was down there debating.
I remember the Teddy Bart session.
And, I was debating the old judge. Well, the judge was there. Oh, he's the one that's been in so much news down there.
I know who you're talking
Galbraith.
About.
Galbraith.
Yeah, Charles Galbraith.
Charles Galbraith.
Yeah.
Well, he come in the studio. They wasn't supposed to be anybody there but me and the boy that was trying to put in the trip joint. We were supposed to debate. Well, when I got there, Judge Galbraith walked in, and he's already didn't know whether he was in Davidson or Rutherford County. And
he tended to be like that
He sat down, and then Teddy was going to be he was going to take the side of the other side. And I said, Teddy, you sort of stacked the deck, hadn't you? So we got started, and the thing that rescued me, I looked up, and John Pittard walked in.
Oh.
And John come in, and if you remember John, bless his heart.
Oh, yes, I remember John well.
John,
lots of conversations.
When John got ready to talk to you, it'd take him, he's a lawyer, and it'd take him 15 minutes to make a statement.
So take a nap during the time.
Yeah, and between times. But John fell in there with me, but we had a big time that day because Galbraith, he was a case, to say the least. But we got to talking about all that, all the pictures and all the stuff of the people that's going to be there. And Galbraith himself said, well, I wouldn't let my wife go over there. But we had, I remember that. And I remember Dean. Appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day.
You too. We really appreciate it.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with Jim Averett.
Murfreesboro, Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
What are you doing over there, scraping paint?
I'm playing my 20 times the money ticket.
Never heard of it.
It's the new instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Tons of chances to win.
Well, yeah, you've been at it for about 5 minutes there.
Yeah, but look at all these prizes. I could win up to $250,000.
Whoa, easy there, big fella.
Well, I can't help it. There are so many...
Ow! You got a winner.
Yeah, but I also broke a nail.
Grow your money. The new 20 times the money instant game from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
You know what I could use right now?
What's that?
I could use 5,000 bucks.
Why 5,000?
I could get that flat screen TV, that mountain bike.
Okay, well, give me a dollar.
How's that going to get me any closer to 5,000?
The money game from the Tennessee Lottery, that's how.
Huh?
Instant game with the top prize of 5,000 bucks.
Only a buck?
Only a buck. And you could win 5,000.
Tell you what, if I win, I'll split it with you.
The 5,000?
No, the buck.
All it takes is a buck for your chance to win the money game from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
All across the South, fans young and old gather to root on their favorite Atlanta Braves.
Driven, oh my.
High and deep to right field. Way out of here, a two-run mammoth home run for Freddie Freeman.
They listen together, taking in every moment of Chipper's final season.
The pitch to Chipper, hit high and deep. Chipper Jones has blistered one to right center field.
This is Why We Chop.
Atlanta Braves baseball is on WGNS.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
Project Help!
Those are the children of Project Help. Saddle Up for Project Help will be held Thursday, July 26 at 6:30 p.m. Proceeds benefit Project Help, Rutherford County's only center-based early intervention preschool program. To sponsor Saddle Up, buy tickets or learn more about Project Help, call 898-2458 or visit mtsu.edu/Project Help.
WeatherEye.
We'll see sunny skies here for this afternoon with a high into the lower 80s and winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low near 58. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 81.
Today is Thursday, June the 7th. Our WGNS birthday cake winner today is Carly Davis. Today, Carly is going to receive a free birthday cake, compliments of locally owned and operated Junior's Foodland on East Main Street. Happy birthday to Carly Davis.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
All right, welcome back with Jim Averett. And, you know, Jim, you constantly amaze me because you were in the ministry for well over 50 years. Mm-hmm. And you have retired fairly recently, supposedly.
September before last.
And you're still getting called to do things, and the, one of the toughest things that I have ever had to do was to be at the service and actually eulogize the person that has died. And I have never done it unless I knew the person really, really well. And still, it's hard for me to think that I was ever able to say the right words at the right time to actually honor that individual, because that's what you're there for, is to honor his life. But you still do that, and I think you said you just recently just did three, and that's pretty tough, and it's tough on. But you want to make sure, it always makes you feel good for the family to come up and say, you know, we really appreciate what you said.
Well, I've had, since I've been back in Murfreesboro, 28 years now, I've had over 250 funerals.
Wow.
And, but most of them I know.
Yeah.
You know, I know the people, but I have funerals for people I don't know. Because I get calls sometimes, you know, where maybe a veteran would pass away out here to VA and have nobody. Mm-hmm. And I've had a funeral where there wasn't nobody at the funeral but me and the undertaker and the grave diggers.
I've seen that.
But, you know, it's rough when you don't know somebody. You have to try to find out some things, you know, because you want to be able to talk about their life. And I try to find out what I can, you know. But I have.
I imagine you have done a lot of your old buddies that came over from West.
I have. I've had funerals. I had Morris Underwood's funeral just not long ago, and names don't come to me right now. But I've buried family members.
Over at your church, I know that. You've had quite a large congregation over the
years.
Well,
in times, but in recent years, our congregation sort of declined. But
and that seems to be common for the churches right now.
Yeah.
They migrate.
Right.
Which that's something that we didn't see much when we were
kids. Yeah, you got musical churches now.
Yeah.
They play musical churches. When the music stops, that's where they sit down, you know.
And you wonder, what is it that they basically want when they go somewhere else?
A lot of time I call them church hobos. Just latch on to the first car that comes along, you know.
But you're such a neat preacher. You are, because you do it with common sense, and you go right to the people, and you know, you have to respect, and you have to love your preacher. And of course, if you stay there a long time, of course, we've been at our church for a long time. But I can still remember the things that really reach out are your friends when you get older. Then you're teachers over the years and your preachers. Is something about that those three categories that really stick out for you?
Well, the thing that I appreciate here, though, in the ministry, the Lord's been good to me, but in all of our ministry, and when we've had to take stand against certain things, I appreciate the city people, you know, when we've had to go down and fuss at them, but it's not been personal, and some of the best friends I got in town have been the mayors and the city councilmen, because they know it's not a personal thing, and in reality, they do a great job. You know, I called the other day and kidded Chris when they had him on. Told him I was beginning to think, be glad I didn't pinch his head off when he was born over on King's Highway, but because he did a good job. Mm-hmm. And these guys, they do a good job. And it's a thankless job when you think about it. It's a thankless job because they don't get paid that much money, mm-hmm. and yet they have to make decisions that don't please everybody. So,
that's right.
And so, but I've appreciated their cooperation and then the love of the town. But I love the city. I'm born here, and I love the city. And I've tried to not only sort of be a conscience, but I've tried to help the city. You know, in times past, we bring two or three conventions in here of Christian students, mm-hmm. Christian school students, that brought quite a bit of money in for a week here. So I tried not only to be a watchdog, I tried to be a pet dog, you know, kind of helps.
Well, now you guys have made a lot of major decisions for the city and the county at Amen Corner over at the City Cafe. I used to go over there and listen to some of the things that I needed to be doing.
And we opened back up, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
We're back in business.
Have you been back over
back Monday. Yes, sir. Because I was having withdrawals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm about to have the DTs. Because I, you know, I said, we got to get the City Cafe back. Because, man, for 20-something years now, I've been going every week.
Except, go to breakfast.
Except for the except for the time I was bedridden with this cancer. I went every day, but now I go 3 days a week. And man, I tell you what, when it closed down, I just about get all shaky. You know, I had to get back to the cafe.
Well, now, you and Charles Mullins, he's a Church of Christ, and you're a Baptist.
Yeah. I forgave him for that.
Did you ever have any interesting conversations between
the
two?
No, we don't argue. We know we differ, but...
And then not much.
Not a whole
Church
lot.
Church of Christ and Baptist are very similar.
But Charles is a good, one of the best preacher friends I've got in this town.
He is one of the best men, period, because I never will forget when my dad was dying and we were in Nashville at St. Thomas, very early in the morning, called his house because Daddy loved Charles Mullins, and couldn't get a hold of him. So I called the SO and asked him if they'd send somebody over, which they did. And he was so apologetic because his wife had taken the phone off the hook. She didn't want, he was wore out, and she did not want him bothered.
Yeah, I know that.
He went all the way to Nashville, got straight up, went over there and spent a lot of time with us. And we were all so appreciative, the dad and the whole family. And it's those things like that that are done out of love and respect that people remember their whole lives.
Well, the reason our friendship, of course, Tom, my brother Tom, went to church at Kingwood, and that's where I first met Charles when Tom had his 50th wedding anniversary. It may have been further back, but anyway, but where we started the City Cafe thing, I'd been going over on the corner there when it was Don's, and having coffee, and but then when we got in the big fight at the with the racetrack, we started meeting at the cafe to plan our strategy. And we've been and Charles had already going there. He'd already going there and several of the others, but then I started going, and I've been going ever since.
Y'all are a great bunch, is all I
can
say.
But see, when I was little, I went to City Cafe when I was little. We'd go to the Roxy Theater, and Mom would take me to the show.
Did you feed the mice while you were there?
Well, that's perfect. See, you went to the Roxy on Friday to get your shoes shined, let the rats run across your shoes. And then you'd be ready to go to the first class over to Princess, you know. Yeah, sure. But we'd come out of the Roxy and turn left and go right into the City Cafe and get an ice cream or something. That's when the Cantrells, you know, and they had the... That back then, the cafe had that big ornate bar, you know, because prior to I was born, you know, they used to have liquor on the square, and it was a saloon. I meant like a saloon, but they wasn't doing that then. But they still had that big bar and the glass, you know. Isn't that it pretty?
You remember all the good times. Jim, it's been a
we
pleasure.
We sure stayed
to have
on the subject, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well,
it's always a lot of fun for me.
I enjoy it. I've been looking forward to it.
Well, we'll have to have you back on.
Well, let me come back sometime. I'll be glad to.
Let you come back. You come back anytime you want
to. Well, no, I can't do that. I can't crash a party.
Tomorrow we have Dickie Palmer.
Yeah, I know you got Dickie. He's one of my favorite people. Because we kind of grew up around together, you know. He was behind me in school, not because he wasn't smart. He was just in age, you know.
But I think he was smarter than all of us.
He was in my wife's class, but Dickie, he's a fine person, one of the best sports announcers
in the nation
around here. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I'd put him alongside any of these guys that we've had, and I always enjoy listening to him.
We'll see you guys tomorrow at 2:00 with Dickie Palmer.